there are great spiritual benefits when we fast. And so this morning we're going to be going through some scriptures, and I hope that you were able to receive a sheet. And I'm going to ask that you reference that sheet. I'm also hoping that you'll take that home, and on the reverse side, maybe even take some notes this morning. But fasting's important, because just as fasting can flush out toxins out of the body, it can flush out spiritual toxins of sin. It can take out spiritual impurities. And one reason why is because fasting helps a Christian be able to see more clearly areas in their life where they need to repent of. I promise you, if you will take this charge, if you will, and consider this water fasting, you will find that you will all the more be in tune with God in areas where you weren't even aware of that need repentance. But here's something else in addition to that, which is even more beautiful. There's something about water fasting where not only will it help you repent, you'll find in your heart a greater desire and willingness to repent. And that in itself is often a problem for many Christians, is it not? Where they know they need to repent, yet they can't seem to get there. There's something about water fasting that helps you get there. Fasting also helps equip and enable us to all the more be able to have self-discipline that we know that we need. Self-discipline, where when you're fasting, it helps you to find yourself disciplined, where you become empowered. And in that empowerment, you not only begin to have victories over sin in your life, you're able to have greater victories, victories like you never had before. In addition, I have personally found that fasting sometimes helps us attain direction in our life. Please hear me. There are a lot of Christians that have a sense of just being directionless. And when we seek God in fasting, there's something about that where we're all the more able to hear the Spirit of God, hear the voice of God, be led by the Spirit of God, where you suddenly begin to sense, this is the direction that God wants me to go. As you know, I've said plenty of times here, before I came here, I had been on a fast because I just knew that I was supposed to go in a new direction. Many of you remember that? Before I came here, I shared I was on my sixth day of fasting. And that was when I got a phone call from our superintendent saying, would you come to Wesley Church? That wasn't an accident. That's what fasting can do. It can begin to open up doors and give you direction for your future. Now, in your bulletin, as I said, you have a sheet. I'm going to ask that you follow along with that sheet. And we are going to start. The first one in your bulletin should be Daniel chapter 10. And give you just a little background before we start. Daniel was like a prophet, okay? He's been taken away to Babylon, and he rises up through the ranks and becomes like a right-hand man for the king. While he's in that position, he ends up having this vision of something to come in the future. It's a vision that he doesn't completely understand. It kind of also puts some fear in him. And he knows whatever it is, it's very important. He wants to understand what was the message in that vision, and so he goes on a water fast. Now, some will say, oh, it was maybe a partial fast, but I won't argue about that. He goes on a fast, and I'm starting with verse 1, and I'll be reading down to verse 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was also called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat, or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. Now, on your sheet, we're skipping down to verse 12. Then he, and at this point, this is talking about an angel that came to Daniel. Then he continued to speaking to Daniel, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, and that would be Michael who? Michael the archangel. He came to me. He came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. And so if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write this as point one. Sometimes victory can only be accomplished when accompanied with fasting. Let me repeat that. Sometimes victory can only be accomplished when accompanied with fasting. So here we have Daniel. As I said, he sees a vision. He doesn't understand it. It puts a certain amount of fear in him. He's troubled by it. He knows it's something to do with a war in the future, so he seeks his face. He gets on his face to seek his God. He begins to fast. As he enters into that fast, an angel comes to him to explain the vision. But before that happened, while this angel was on his way to Daniel to try and explain this, what happened? Verse 13 tells us that the prince of Persia, and look close, if you're looking at verse 13, at the end of verse 13, it also refers to this being as the king of Persia. Who was that? Who was that? It was a demonic being. Maybe Satan, but for sure it was some kind of demonic being. And to some degree it has power in being able to rule over this country referred to as Persia. And this is of utmost importance for us to understand. And that being, there are demonic forces at work, involved in governments. This is one reason why we need to pray for our nation, why we need to pray for our president. Notice this spiritual being was referred to again as not only a prince, but as a what? King of Persia at the end of that verse in verse 13. Why was he called the king of Persia? It is because, at least to some degree, his evil desires were being fulfilled and carried out by the people of Persia. This is why we need to make sure that we are praying. Just as this evil being was accomplishing to a certain degree his will through Persia, through the politics of that nation, so we need to be praying because Satan is working hard to accomplish his evil desires. And sometimes he does do it through the politics of our nation. What country today would that country that was called Persia back then be? What country today would that be? Anyone know? That's it. Iran. Or you say Iran. Iran. Is it just an accident that this is the nation, one of the number one nations in all the world, that has been caught red-handed in the sponsoring of terrorism to the point of having people murdered? Is it an accident that of all the people of nations in the world, this is one nation that's made it clear it just doesn't want Israel to give up land. It wants them wiped off the map. Is it an accident out of all the nations of the world that this is the one nation that hates Christianity to the point wherever it finds Christians, such as some Muslims who have become Christians, witnessing about Christ, they sometimes not only imprison them, but they hang them and they kill them. And a part of the reason why I'm sharing this is because there is a grave, grave, grave misnomer among many churches and Christian circles. And that misnomer is this: you should never talk about politics in the church. I tell you, when Satan knows Christians believe that, he applauds that. He rejoices in that. Why? Because he knows then that he will all the more be able to accomplish his evil through politics, because Christians won't talk about it in the church. We need to be aware of his devices. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says this. And remember, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the people of his time so that they don't become deceived. He says that the evil spirit is working the sons of disobedience, and that is one way in which Satan accomplishes his will. God, believe me, Satan wants certain people voted into politics because he knows his will be accomplished through them. Again, this scripture says that his spirit works in the sons of disobedience. Now back to Daniel. Fortunately for him, Michael, this archangel, came to this other angel that was trying to reach him to give him this message to explain to him the meaning of it. But why did this happen? Was it because this angel needed Michael's help? No. It happened in a great part because God saw Daniel was doing what? What was he doing? He was fasting. The more you fast, the more you will unleash the opportunity of God's power as well as angelic beings to be at work on your behalf. That's why we need to consider fasting. There are times in which spiritual forces on high, and keep this in mind, the Bible addresses Satan as being the prince of the what? The air. There are times in which spiritual forces of darkness on high are engaged in battle against us, engaged in battle against your prayers, engaged in battle against us so that we may not have the victory that he knows we need, not just want. And sometimes the victory will depend on whether we're not just praying, but whether we're fasting. The Apostle Paul, again, with the Christians at Ephesus, did not want them to miss. This is what's going on all around them. And so he says this to them in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's right. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Christians too often fail to take into account that what they are up against are the powers of darkness fighting to at least, if not gain a foothold, to maintain a foothold in their life, to maintain a foothold in politics, to maintain a foothold in their governments, in nations, in certain universities, to maintain a foothold even within some families that need God to come and give them deliverance. Fasting can make the difference. There have been times when Christians have kind of banded together to fight against a cause that was trying to push sin in its communities. And they find themselves having little success. They've been faithful. They've been sticking together, hoping for victory. And despite even being in unity, they're not winning. And they can't seem to understand, why aren't we breaking through? And little do they realize, it's because they're not just fighting against human will or human flesh, but that there's something else at work against them, and it's evil spirits. They're working against their cause, working against their hope, working against what could be their future, including demons who are at work, who are trying to destroy right now the future of America. Oh, please hear me. Please hear me. We need to make sure that we are not a naive people to this. There are spiritual forces of darkness at work that want to see America come down. And what more Christians need to do is not only band together in prayer, but they must be willing to say, it's time to fast. It's time to force myself, to discipline myself. Fasting is meant to be one of our God-given weapons by which we can fight and conquer these spiritual forces of darkness that are against us and against our loved ones who are not saved. It is one of our most potent weapons in our arsenal of weaponry against him. It is like dropping the atom bomb, especially when it's a group of Christians within a church that say, let's join as a group. The New Testament church conquered mightily in its day. And one of the reasons why was because the early church was doing water fasting and doing it on a regular basis. There are times in which we wonder, where's the power of God? Why do we not move in signs and miracles and wonders? And a part of the reason is because the church is not doing what the early church did. If we would do this, especially as a group, I promise you, we will see God's power unleashed. You'll see it unleashed in your personal life. God is wanting this, but many of God's people are not seeking him this way. But if we will, we will definitely find a major key that unlocks many of those heavy chains of bondage and weights that seem to be holding us back from having victory in our own personal lives, an area where we need to have the victory. And the Bible has a list, innumerable list, of amazing things that happen when the people got together as a group and decided to fast. Let me name a few. This one's not on your sheet, but if you're taking notes, it comes from the book of Judges. It's chapter 20, verses 18 through 26. Here we have the tribe of Benjamin. Some of their people have done a horrendous sin. Won't go into it. But it was a wicked sin. And when they came back, the tribe of Benjamin did not hold them accountable. Well, when the other 11 tribes found out, they confronted the tribe of Benjamin and said, you need to hand them over. They need to be put to death. But the tribe of Benjamin didn't want to do it. And so there's a righteous cause. The 11 said, well, we're going to come in and we're going to attack you if you don't. So they attack the tribe of Benjamin. After all, the cause is righteous. And you know what happened? They got whooped, the 11 tribes. So this time they come back together. They pray, but they also fast. After they fast, not only did they defeat the tribe of Benjamin, but they took their city away from them. Later in Israel's history, they find themselves being ruled under the cruel hand of the Philistines. Many of you know that as we've been going through that series in David, by the way, which I'm not done. I just felt I wanted to take a break because I actually had two people ask me to speak on this, and I'd already been thinking about speaking on this, and I don't think that was an accident. But they had been suffering under the cruel hand of the Philistines for many years. And reason why is because Israel strayed away from the Lord. However, under Samuel's leadership, under Samuel, there was this man named Samuel, who's a prophet, who comes rising up, great man of God. He says to the people, look, we need to come together, we need to confess our sin, and we need to repent. And so they do. They go up and they fight the Philistines. You know what happens? Not only do they defeat the Philistines, they end up taking back the cities that the Philistines had taken from them. I promise you this, if you'll but water fast, watch and see areas where Satan has taken from you, and if you don't begin to take them back from him. Fasting is important, especially in times of war. And what we need to understand is right now there is a war going on concerning the spiritual life of America. And that's why we need to come together and we need to fast. King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 through 27, finds out that there's this invading army that is so huge coming in from another nation. They don't have a chance. He's worried sick. And so what does he do? He sets himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaims a fast throughout all the country. The people come together, and not only did they fast and pray, they met a church, their temple. God honored their fast and their prayers. They were told in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, this battle is not going to be yours. This battle is going to be the Lord's. In fact, you won't even have to fight. Will the enemies show up, and they're continuing in their fasting and praying. And what ends up happening is their enemy ends up fighting among themselves, till they put each other to death. The rest of the nations, when they saw what had happened, began to fear the God of Israel. Sometimes by fasting, you can experience where God will go to work where you don't even have to lift your hand. His hand will defend you. His hand will go against your enemy. When Israel was in exile to Babylon because of their sin as a nation, they drifted away from God. They ended up being captured, taken out of their homeland. While there, their leader Ezra, a man of God, was granted permission to be able to go back to their homeland, take some of his people with him, even some of the riches from the temple would be given back to them. But during this process, as he was given all of this, of course, delighted. This has got to be God. But he has this fear, and that is, what if we get attacked? We might end up wiped out. On the one hand, he's too afraid to ask the king for an escort, or perhaps I should say not so much afraid as he was ashamed, because it might send a message that their God isn't a protector, that their God is not a deliverer. And so he and the people fasted, and not only was he delivered, but he was delivered from being ambushed by the enemies. Queen Esther, her uncle Mordecai, and the people of the Jews fasted because a law had been put out throughout the land that Jews could be murdered. And so they fast. Many of you know what happens. As they fast, another edict comes forward and they end up all completely delivered, including the man, get this, the very man who instigated that all the Jews were to be murdered in their land ends up himself being hung by the gallows that he built to hang a Jew named Mordecai. King David fasted often. Jeremiah the prophet fasted, and he proclaimed a fast to all the people, just as I am right now hoping that we as a church will consider. Daniel fasted. The prophet of Joel not only fasted, but he too proclaimed a fast throughout the land. Disciples of John the Baptist fasted. Jesus Christ's disciples fasted. Fasting is a part of what can bring critical victories and critical moments of our life. And not only in our life, but to nations. But for so many of God's people, this has become, as I titled this message, a lost art. Churches need to humble themselves once again before God and fast and pray collectively. And if they do, including ours, we're going to see the power of God. And do we not want that? Do we not want that? Amen. Point two, and I'm going to go a little bit fast from here on out. Fasting can stop the judgment of God. Okay, if you're taking notes. Fasting can stop the judgment of God. Even when the lost, who are not Christians, humble themselves, it can have a profound effect on how God will deal with them. It has literally at times caused God to change his mind about bringing judgment upon them. Jonah, he's told to go to the city of Nineveh to pronounce that in 40 days, judgment's going to fall on that city. However, that city decides that they want to fast and humble themselves before God. And as a result of that, God turned literally his fierce anger away from them so they would not perish. When fasting is mixed with repentance, it affects God's heart in a very strong way. In this instance, it literally stopped him from bringing judgment upon a city where there was 120,000 people. I've heard some Christians say that it's too late to save our nation. We support so many different kinds of sins. That God's going to judge us, that it's just a matter of time. Even if that's true, that we as a nation perhaps have waited too long to repent as we need to, and say God has made up his mind that he's going to judge America, can there still be any benefit to our fasting? Yes. It can end up stopping the severity of how God may decide to judge our nation. And it may also delay God's judgment. A good biblical example is found in, this is on your sheet, 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 27 through 29. These verses talk about King Ahab. And keep in mind, King Ahab is one of the most wicked kings in the Bible. He has just been told by the prophet Elijah that God's judgment is going to fall because of his wickedness. When he hears it, he believes it. And he decides that he's going to go on a fast. And look what happens. Starting in verse 27, and again, it's on your sheet. So it was when Ahab heard those words that he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth on his body and fasted, and he lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his day. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity. So point three. Fasting has not only at times stopped the judgment of God, there have been times where it has delayed the judgment of God. Now some might say, well, okay, maybe it can delay the judgment of God. But if it lands on my children and they have to suffer for it, how will that make any difference for me since I love my children more than myself? One, it can make a huge difference. Because it can not only end up delaying it, but in that delay, allow parents and children to all the more be prepared for when it comes, such as maybe get out of debt, such as maybe be able to stockpile food to save up money, such as getting our own lives all the more spiritually right where we need to get it right. God and times in the Bible have helped people who turned and sought his face despite judgment might come. I think of even Joseph. Joseph, the king, is given a dream. Joseph interprets the dream. And because the king acts on the dream, Joseph is able to help Egypt stockpile food so when the famine comes, they're able to bear through it. Also keep in mind, who did God do this for? It was done for a king who was wicked. It's this king's wife who ended up even killing some of the prophets of God. If he was a wicked man, and he was, and God was willing to delay it, what will he do for the righteous if they'll but repent? If God will delay judgment even for the wicked who humble themselves by fasting, how much more will he do for his children who are humbling themselves by fasting and praying? Verse 15 tells us that now I'm going to turn to Matthew, point four. Jesus made it clear that he expects us to fast. Starting with verse 14, again, this is on your sheet. Then the disciples of John came to him, meaning to Jesus. Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they'll fast. Verse 15 tells us that while the bridegroom, meaning Jesus, was with them, there's no need to fast. Their joy is present. Jesus was the answer to their hundreds of years of prayer because he was the Messiah. He's the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. But he does say to them, once the bridegroom is gone, then they will what? Then they'll fast. If you're a disciple of Christ, then you need to open your heart to Christ's expectation of you fasting. As a disciple, we should be able to recognize that the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is gone. And during that time, he said that his people would fast. Are you? Is it something that's an active part of your life? It should be. Jesus said at another place, blessed are those who mourn. Why would that be true? In one sense, it's because they have spiritual eyes to see the sinful, lost state of not only the world, but for many, their own nation. They know that most of the sorrows that are here is because the bridegroom is gone. And we long for him to come and change the sin that is ruling not only the lives of many people, but ruling nations. So fasting is often accompanied with sorrow, repentance, humbling ourselves before God. You know, I've personally found that there have been times when I've fasted, and I hope you don't mind my telling you this. I have fasted more in my life this year than I've ever fasted. And I'll tell you real frank, I really believe I see what's coming to America. You've heard me speak about this for a couple years, but we're really close to the brink of something. And I believe with all my heart, if we're not humbling ourselves and becoming spiritually beefed up and strong, Satan is going to sway some and take them away from the Lord. They're not going to be strong enough. We need to make sure that we are becoming strong in God now, taking time to fast and seek his face to flush out those sins that are in our life. And what I've personally experienced is there have been times, because I was on a water fast, where it caused me to want to just weep and repent on my face before God. Lord, I didn't even see that. I didn't even see that in my life. Fasting can help you come to that right place with God that you otherwise may never come to. Fasting needs to become a priority in all of our lives, not a lost art. Point five, sometimes decisions should be made only after a fast. Please hear me on this. This is in your sheet, Acts chapter 13. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 3. Again, sometimes decisions should only be made after a fast. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to." So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them away. There are times in which we need to make sure that we're not just making a good decision. There are times in which we need to make sure that we're not just making a better decision. But there are times in which we need to make sure we are making the right decision. As we see here, it was through fasting that they heard the Lord speak to them so that these two men could fulfill the ministry that God had put on them. These Christians in the book of Acts not only prayed, but they fasted that God would lead them to the right decision. Some decisions should not be made unless it is accompanied by fasting. Oh, please hear me. I believe that there are plenty of times where churches or denominations have chose, for an example, a superintendent. And by the way, I'm not talking about our superintendent, okay? But there have been times when they have picked a leader. Maybe he had a certain title, and they liked that title in front of his name. And they said, you know what, he would represent us as a good leader, and it was not God's first choice. And it wasn't necessarily that a bunch of chaos came out of it, but they missed that extra blessing that would have been theirs, where that denomination or churches could have been raised to that next level had they chosen not just a good man, but the right man, or if it might be a woman. Fasting, point six, can be an influencing factor in regard to the salvation of others. This is so important. This is one of the reasons why fasting is so important. Let me say this again, point six. Fasting can be a powerful, influencing factor in regards to the salvation of others. I'll be reading Acts chapter 10. Again, this is on your sheet, starting with verse 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and in the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Who was that man? He was a what? He was an angel. And said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. So here we have a man of great authority. He was a Roman centurion. He was a devout man. He respected the God of the Jews. He was a man who was a generous man, where he gave to the poor. And we see, like Daniel, this man also has an angel in the midst of a fast appear before him. And the words that he hears are, your prayers have been what? Heard. Well, I guess you could say answered. And this angel then gave him instruction to go get the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter comes, and as a result of that, the Apostle Peter explains salvation. And as a consequence of that, Cornelius gets saved, his family gets saved, and there might have been some friends there. Why did this happen? One large reason was because this man had made up his mind to fast. How many of us right now have friends or a mother or a father or a sister or a brother where you've been praying for years for their salvation and maybe nothing's happened? Fasting doesn't necessarily guarantee anything, because it is for whosoever will, but I can promise you this, if you go into a fast, watch and see if all of a sudden they don't find coming to their attention that they need God as their Savior, need Jesus as their Savior. I'm going to close with a true story. There was a minister, can't remember his name, Craig, Pastor Craig, when we were in Tennessee, shared a story with his church about a man, get this, 80 years old, who loved a young man dearly in his church, but he wasn't saved. And obviously they'd been praying and praying and praying, and what this 80-year-old man decided to do was, I'm going to go on a water fast. After 5 days, people asked him, well, he's not saved, but I'm sure God is still honoring your fast. And the 80-year-old man said, I'm not done yet. He went 10 days on a water fast. He went 15 days on a water fast. And for many of us, we're thinking, I can't do that. Isn't that what you're thinking? That's way too much for me. He went on a 20-day water fast. And on the 20th day, I believe it's the 20th day, this man felt so much conviction by the hand of God that he repented and asked Jesus to be his Savior. We are greatly underestimating the power of God that can be unleashed on your behalf and on your loved ones if you will but take up the time and be willing to sacrifice. And it does take a sacrifice to go on a water fast. But if we'll do it, you will find more of the power of God at work on your behalf. May we become that kind of people. Amen. Now, although I'm closing, I just want to do a little caution. If you decide you want to go on a fast, you got to be careful, especially if you're not used to it. Build yourself up to it. I didn't just go on a 3 or 4 or 5 day water fast. I broke it by starting with a juice fast. I have had people tell me who know they have a busy work schedule and they're going to need energy. They come back with joy in their heart. Pastor, it worked. I went on a grape juice fast, and I had more energy than what I usually have. And a part of that is because when your body digests food, it takes a lot of energy. And then able to use that time to leave the office and just go for a little prayer walk. Once you get past that point where you find out you can fast, and by the way, I want to really encourage us to consider maybe after lunch on Sunday. You know why? Because I like going to Culver's just like all the rest of you. But usually after lunch on Sunday, or often I should say, till lunch on Monday. And I want to ask, if you have a prayer request on your bulletin, to put that prayer request down and say, Pastor, I am fasting, and I will join you. And I will join you in a fast. What will happen is if you will get in the practice of it, you'll be surprised your ability to fast will increase. As I told you a minute ago, I've done more fasting this year than I've ever done in my life because I really believe what I see coming. And I want it strong. I've done a 3-day water fast. I was praying for a lot for Henry and Becky, who's here joined. And we didn't get what we wanted. Lord, praying, please, Lord, I don't want that man on dialysis. And so I was a bit upset. But I've also learned to commit it to God, because we don't always get exactly what we want. We just have to learn to commit it to God. Amen? Well, here I am doing a Bible study course of Alpha with a family here in our church. And this very last Bible study, the preacher shares about a man who's on dialysis, whom God didn't cure. Forget this. God is now using him to heal people. Isn't that amazing? We don't always get what we want, but sometimes God's got something in mind where we just need to commit it to him. What this man who went on dialysis did was he said, Lord, I trust you, I love you, I'm not getting what I wanted, I did not want to be on this dialysis, but I put my hope in you, that you have a purpose even in this. And as a consequence of that, of his faithfulness, God is now using him to heal people. Maybe we'll do an Alpha course on a Wednesday night, because I'm really loving this course. And they have testimony after testimony after testimony of the kind of things that God is doing. So I encourage you to start pacing yourself. Work yourself up to it. Be careful if you're diabetic. Of course, you want to go see a doctor. And even if you have to do a partial fast, do that. I sometimes do a partial fast. My wife can tell you there's often times I won't eat anything from Monday night to the following, or pardon me, Sunday night to Monday night, or Tuesday night to Wednesday night. And I have found this to be consistently true. You'll be surprised. You go through those times where you get tired, but you also will find you have more energy. In many, many ways, God wants his anointing to be upon each and every one of us. But for that to happen, it's going to take for us to say, Dear God, I'm going to start getting real serious in seeking you. And if we do that, watch and see. And I'll tell you something else that'll happen. People who fast, they begin to find this spiritual vitality that becomes obvious. And you know what happens? It begins to overflow on those around you, such as family and children that you love. We want that. Amen?